Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, we're talking about Brandon Pajemski and his role and how he feels about his role and all of that. And, you know, I think a lot of Warriors fans are like how you feel, like how Carter, Sam, like, do you even care who is on this team post Stephen Curry at
no,
this point?
No, I'll worry about that when it's post Steph Curry.
But like, you don't like, it's not keeping you up at night. Like, oh, this team, the two timelines after Steph. Oh my God.
Once they got Jimmy, it was like everything was unified.
Okay.
Once you went in on Jimmy, it was like, all right, next 2 years, that's it. As in this year, next year. That's it. I'm just taking it year by year.
You're not having this, you know, I would love to keep, you know, a homegrown guy like a Pods, a Moody, Kuminga, you know, that usher in the new.
Look, ideally, you know, I will cross those bridges when I need to and figure it out long term when I need to.
But you're all just this year and then we'll see.
Joe, I would exhaust all options to be able to get one more championship with this core. And if you do, wow, that'd be amazing.
Big Smoothie, Oakland. What's up, Big Smooth? Long time no here. You're on the Morning Roast.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Gentlemen, always a pleasure to be on the Morning Roast with Spadoni and Shasky. But listen, guys, you're talking about Shasky. Come on, man. We're still talking about roles. Hey, how about you show us what you can do consistently? If Pods had a consistent jump shot, you think we'd find a role for him? Absolutely. If Pods was Sharonis Marcellonis, which he could do, why don't you look at tape from Sharonis and say, this guy was effective. What can I do? Pods is not consistent. I like Pods, first of all.
I do, too.
But the jump shot is not consistent, man.
Nope.
He's not. Make yourself more valuable. How about that? For example, Shaedon Sharpe last night.
He's a good player.
This guy's going to be a problem.
I agree.
You can see he's been in the lab. You know, we say that, cliches. But this guy, his jump shot is smooth, as crisp. I would even say Moses Moody looks like something is going to develop with him. He looks a little sharper. His jumper more consistent. He's going to the bucket. Can you say that about, I hate to say this, looks this early, but listen, Kuminga, for example, he did move, tried to cook, and turn the ball over. And I'm thinking, hopefully we won't see a lot of that because we saw a lot of that last year. Nick, who covers the Warriors for Bleacher Report, the other outfit,
The Athletic. Yeah.
He perfectly described the issue with J.K. and the Warriors. It was perfectly. Steve Kerr has been saying the same thing. When are we going to catch on, guys? When are we going to believe? These guys are not idiots. They go to work every day. They're in practice. They know the problems. We don't. We just see snippets. But J.K., he's got to show that he's done something different this year.
Smooth.
We got to stop saying they're not finding roles for these guys.
No,
these
but
guys
smooth.
These guys are not defining themselves. Go ahead, bro.
Would you also agree it's so crowded? Like, that second unit was Buddy Hield, GP2, Kuminga, Pods, and Quentin Post. I was like, what? Like, is everyone just
I agree from this.
Ugh.
Yeah, somebody has to separate themselves.
I agree.
I can't think of his name. You just said it.
Quentin Post.
Post. How about sending Quentin Post down to do a little let him study under Olajuwon. I'll pay for it because this footwork is just terrible. He's right in the basket. He's fumbling. Dude, turn around and dunk the basket.
I know. No turnaround.
Thanks, Big Smooth. Your phone's
they
cutting out there.
They
have
no post play whatsoever.
But they have a Quentin Post, so that's good.
Who likes to be out on the prairie land of beyond
back,
the arc?
I keep coming back to that quote from Kerr on Quentin Post, and we're reacting to the game yesterday. And it's a preseason game, but he said he's not a fake 7-footer. Like, so he's not a guy that like doesn't play to his size, but the last few months and the action I've seen from him, that's kind of what he feels like.
Joe,
a fake 7. I don't feel his size on the court, and that's a problem when you're 7 feet tall, Joe.
Joe, I just want you to look at their team. Under 6'5". Let's just go. DeAnthony Melton's coming back. Seth Curry. Steph Curry.
Gary Payton II.
Gary Payton II. Pods.
Yep.
Okay. Now barely 6'6", 6'7". Kuminga Moody. All right. Buddy Hield. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's 8 guys. Eight guys.
That's the problem. And you have an undersized guy in Draymond Green that plays bigger than he is.
Who's also 6'6", 6'7".
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? 9 guys. All right? And you're Horford, who I like Horford. I think he's very useful. He's like 6'9", 6'10".
Yeah.
Right? So.
And who are the top dogs in the West?
All have size and length. And yes. They all have a legitimate 4 and a legitimate 5.
Exactly. But all that being said, I'm still optimistic about this team this season. I am. You guys might say I'm crazy. I saw enough in that couple game stretch when they cobbled this thing together out of just glue and duct tape. And you say, here, Jimmy, we're the 10th spot. Figure it out. They went to the second round of the NBA playoffs.
But what does that mean? What do you mean I'm optimistic about this team? Like, I'm optimistic.
Because if I extrapolate what they were able to do in a couple month stretch, why can't they do that for a full season? Why can't they be a playoff team? Why not?
Oh, so just be a playoff team.
Well, we're talking about them like they didn't make the second round of the Western Conference.
No, we're talking about them
year.
Like they have one of the greatest players of all time, and there's only a couple years left.
If you have one of the greatest players of all time, then we should talk about, like, hey, the impact of this team could be pretty freaking good then, right?
Well, no, I just think that we're... The way we're talking about this is you have Jimmy, you have Dre, and you have Steph. How can you get Steph and Dre that 5th championship? I think that's the way I'm viewing it.
No, absolutely. Did you not feel like that? You allowed yourself at one point in the playoffs last year, Joe, after that Rockets series, or hell, when they were up 3-1, you started to believe, like, you know what? Can this Warriors team somehow get to the finals? That started creeping into your mind a little bit.
Well, also, because there were other injuries in the West and things, you know, shake out. You're in the middle of the season and you start feeling a little delusional. But I'm looking at it from a whole new lens, and it's a long, long journey.
It is. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
And I'm saying to myself, like, I'm picking this team apart through that, not championship lens, but, like, let's just say second round lens. Who's guarding Julius Randle this time around?
I mean,
who's boxing out Aaron Gordon? But I think these are the necessary questions. Who's guarding Luka and LeBron on the perimeter late in the game with Austin Reeves?
Well, the Lakers lost to the Warriors at one point.
No. Forget what happened. I'm asking for this year. Who's guarding Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on the perimeter in a tight game? And who's guarding their other point guard, whatever his name is, got the same exact name as the other guy?
Series are always different if we're doing the series conversation.
No, well,
given game, you know, anyone could beat anyone. We've seen that with the Warriors. They matched up well in the regular season against the Thunder, who were the best team all season long.
They didn't play him with Jimmy. So
I know.
I'm asking questions that are necessary questions as we view the entire year. So to just say, I'm optimistic about them.
You're not optimistic like I am about the Warriors.
Optimistic about what?
About their chances in the West. Yes.
To be what? In the second round?
To be in the playoffs. Be a playoff team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In the playoffs. Okay. But like, isn't the goal a little higher than that?
They were a play-in team last year and the year before. The goal is to make the playoffs.
Yeah, but last year I started with Wiggins and Kuminga was more, I viewed him more important. Now that you've gotten Jimmy, I've recalibrated. So I don't really care what happened last year and the year prior, like before Jimmy got here. What I'm worried about now is, like, how can we be a top 4 or 5 team in the West?
Yeah, but I'm telling you, I think they are a top 4 or 5 team in the Western Conference.
See, I still think they need to do some tweaking. I think they need to get some size to be able to offset that before I take them. I think they're in the playoff mix. Before I take them to that next step, I got to see it play out, and I got to see them carve out roles, and I think they need to trade and get themselves a 4.
One of the biggest Warriors fans that loves to call on our station is calling right now, Joe. It's our guy Oscar in Stockton, wants to talk to us. What's up, Oscar?
What's going on, fellas?
How you doing, man?
Hello?
Long time no here, Oscar. Okay. What you been up to?
Oh, I've just been out here working, man, trying to maintain, watching my son in cross country right now.
Nice.
But, yeah, man, I just want to say one thing. I watched the whole game. You know me, I'm watching everything.
God bless you.
Yes. We started out slow, but I'm going to tell you one thing. The young players, they're going to have a role in this team. No need to panic. even though the starting five a little bit seasoned, but you got to understand, we got players that has been working in the lab. And Steve Kerr, man, he got a mystery of this, man. We going to be the top 14 in the NBA. And let me say one thing about Paz, man. I watched Paz all summer. Paz is one of them kind of kids, man. Yeah, he wanted to be in the limelight, but he's working hard. I'm not going to get mad at what he said. He's showing his confidence. He's cocky. But guess what? If you're not cocky and confident, you're not going to make it in the NBA. So I'm going to give Paz a break. I'm not saying he's going to be a superstar. He's going to be a good role player on our team. But saying all that, players like Kuminga, he's got to don't show his frustration, but he's got to be playing. Kuminga has to play at least 25 to 28 minutes a game. We had to have Mr. Youngsters in. If we don't, athletically, we're going to get run off the court in the first half. I'm just saying, we got to Mr. Youngsters in with the veterans, man. But I'm not going to panic. I know because the Warriors is going to be the top four teams this year, and we're going to be in there.
Let's go.
Hey, Chasky, I love your spirit. Hey, I know you guys are on it, but guess what, man? The Warriors going to be one of the top teams, man. Believe that.
Let's go.
You guys have a good day, man.
That's all Oscar right. In Stockton. He's saying, lock it in. Top four team in the West, baby. That's the confidence I like in this squad. Got Jimmy, Draymond, and Dre, Steph, and all these guys. And you got Jonathan Kuminga. You got Brandon Podziemski, who's the next heir apparent. Al Horford. Come on. Let's go. I don't need Lowry Markkanen, please. I got Steve Kerr. He's won four championships as a head coach. I'm fired up about this season. I really am. It starts off with the Lake Show, LeBron and his stupid Hennessy ads. Can't come soon enough. It's still ridiculous that he did that. It's so dumb.
He's a high-level loser, bro.
You know what, Carter? That was a high-level loser move from LBJ. From the guy that the self-imposed king. That's just put on his own crown. Stupid. Mm.
They do have a real, legitimate conundrum.
What is it?
I think this is it's fun, it's exciting, it's difficult, and I think it's going to be critiqued ad nauseum. How many minutes in a game for the five players combined? If it's a 48-minute game. Anyone? 240.
Okay.
So if Steph plays 30, and this is just average, Jimmy plays 30, and Dre plays 30, and if you're splitting the difference, you say Horford plays 22, Pods plays 28, you're down to 100 minutes. You're down to 100 minutes. For Buddy, GP2, Seth Curry eventually, Melton eventually, Kuminga, Moody, Post. And I did not include Gui Santos in there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 guys, 100 minutes. If everyone's available. I think it's really difficult. I think what we're asking, who's going to take a leap? Who can get consistent minutes? Who should play? What should we do? Blah, 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 blah. Again, guys, just go off of what Steve Kerr has done over the last few years and do the math and let's work backwards. We're talking about 100 minutes, give or take. I'm just going give or take when everyone's available and you got Buddy, GP2, Seth Curry, De'Anthony Melton, Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, Quentin Post. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 guys, 100 minutes. I think this is a really difficult task for Steve Kerr to find the different combinations that are going to work.
I'm sure he'd agree with you.
I didn't add TJD into that list either. You could throw him in there and say he's your 8th guy that would be splitting these 100 minutes. I think it's pretty obvious. A trade has to happen.
For and what?
Clarity. Forget the position right now. Just make this easier on everyone. Clarity for the role, clarity for positions, clarity for Steve Kerr, lineup combinations, creating carved out specific first, second, and then that starting second quarter unit, which is your third unit, essentially. Guys, we're talking in circles about the same thing. We're having the same issue again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There are 5 guys with guaranteed minutes. The other 8 guys that we're talking about in this 12-man rotation, 12 is too deep. We all know this.
Yes, but you are going to need the bodies because of the amount of back-to-backs this team has.
Sure.
Yes.
So sure, I grant you that.
Yeah, you're going to have to lean on some of these young guys at some point, right?
Yeah, but
right?
But when everyone's healthy, what are the conversations going to be like the very next morning? We're going to be arguing about this 100 minutes I'm talking about that is going to be divvied up amongst these eight guys. And nine if I throw Gee in there.
Listen, I'm not worried about Draymond. I'm not worried about Jimmy. I'm not worried about Steph. I'm really not even like, and we saw the whole Buddy Hield experience last year where he was pretty awful for most of the regular season. And then like Buddy does, he's very streaky is what I learned from him. He's going to be streaky this season too. He might start off hot, might go cold, might go hot again. We'll see. He was a huge factor in that Rocket series in game 7, obviously. And then I got those other three. JK, Pods, Moody. And I know there's Seth, and I know TJD, as you mentioned. We'll see with his role. That's the other one I don't think we've talked about enough. What is his role this year? I would like to see more Trayce Jackson-Davis. I think a lot of Warriors fans would.
Where?
Again.
Alongside who?
Exactly. I don't know. I liked when he goes out there, though, Joe. I see him making plays.
Because he's their only lob threat?
Well, yes, a little bit. He's the only one that's trying to play with size.
Joe, they have no size. Well, and they don't play it. So I guess what I'm saying to you is, Joe, forget TJD for just a second. And forget post. Moody, Kuminga, Melton, Seth, GB2, Buddy. It's too many wings. And I didn't even include Pods because I put him in the kind of made man territory.
Oh, my God.
No, but like, Joe, they just... It's a backlog of guys. I can see where this is going, and I'm two preseason games in, and I feel like we're having the same conversations.
Are you as concerned as Shasky is right now about the minute allocation with this squad as it pertains to the others?
We all know what these guys need. Clarity.
I don't think
you are playing
though?
This position. You're going to play with these lineups.
I feel like we have clarity with this roster right now, don't we?
What?
I think the only question mark is Jonathan Kuminga, whether or not he's going to be a Warrior come July or January 18th, whatever
What's
it is.
Moody's role?
What's Moody's role? What was his role last year towards the end of the season?
Well, he started at the end of the year until the playoffs, like when he faltered. He was your starting, essentially your four.
But dude, they had a stretch of that starting lineup mm-hmm. being ballers.
But they didn't have Horford. Remember,
they didn't have Horford.
Right, so that makes things different.
And in fairness, I haven't seen Horford in regular seasons. Like, I don't know how that's going to look going forward.
That's why I'm trying to do... I'm doing this exercise, not because I'm trying to be pessimistic or be a hater. I'm trying to provide clarity because people call, and I'm not mad at Big Smooth for calling it, hey, like, guys need to take a step forward. Okay? In what role?
Well,
that's why I do these exercises.
You know, we didn't have any clarity on this lineup, I feel, at the start of last season. We didn't know what was going
on. Which is why they floundered for 3 months.
They started off hot, didn't they?
Yeah, but we kind of figured that was fool's gold.
Well, maybe, but what if they start off hot again? Are we still going to say it's fool's gold?
Well, no, this would be different because, okay. A, Wiggins is not here. Wiggins was unreliable.
Yes.
And... you know, again, Horford is here now.
And he had a cup of coffee with DeAnthony Melton. He tore his ACL.
Yeah, you know, so like things are just different. Like, again, that's why I'm throwing it out last year. Just throw it out the window. Imagine this being a new team the minute Butler got here. I don't think you can take what they did prior to Butler getting here.
No. I am looking at when they acquired Jimmy Butler. That is the difference. It's the Warriors pre and post Jimmy at this point is how we're talking about it. And post Jimmy... There's a lot to like about this team, right?
Sure, absolutely,
yes.
Absolutely. But if we're going to have fifth ring conversations, I do think that clarity and then like all these guys taking Podziemski taking a leap or Kuminga or Moody, you call in, you're like, hey, that's the guy who's going to take a leap. All right, explain to me where their role is.
You'll give me some rope here that like this time last year, you weren't talking championship at all. It wasn't even across your mind. Not even close.
Because Jimmy's infinitely better than Wiggins.
Not even close, but again.
It's a great trade.
Right now, October 9th, reacting to the second preseason game of the Warriors.
Dude, we're having fun. We're talking Warriors,
exactly.
Dude. Like this, we went from, hey, just maybe make the playoffs, to now I'm like, all right, let's look at this team. How good are they?
Yeah.
Where do they stack up? Where's the role? Dude, we spent all summer complaining about Kuminga, and now I'm asking you guys, What's his role? Where does he fit?
Juice in Washington, D.C. wants to get in the conversation, plus Bobby in Los Altos. What's up, Juice? You're on the morning roast.
What's up, you guys? How you doing this morning?
Doing great.
Dude, I'm so fired up for the Warriors.
Man, oh, man. Shasky, I'm not going to lie. What's been in your cup, man? Because you're on fire this morning, man. I mean, you're on fire. I do agree with you, with a lot of things that you're saying this morning, Shasky, I think in order for the Warriors to be and max out and do what they can do with the three is what you've been saying, is that Draymond needs to take a lesser role. And the way that that will happen, and to be honest, if Kuminga keeps playing the way he's been doing in preseason and rebounding, running the floor, passing when he needs to, I mean, the more that he does that, I'm sorry, Draymond's getting old. He's not the same player. He's regressing. And to be honest, like you said, Sasky, I need Draymond defense when it matters most, when we close in games, when we're down.
Yes.
Like, I need my team to score. Like, when the first two quarters hit, I need scoring punches. I need someone to help Steph when Steph gets double-teamed, triple-teamed, to be able to have an outlet. And Draymond's just not that outlet. Like, I love the threes that he hit, but if we want to really be honest, how often is Draymond going to hit that on a 15- to 20-game basis?
Exactly.
He's not. I'd rather have Kuminga in that role where he's – especially if you have Al Horford at the center, then Kuminga makes even more sense. Because him, Horford, and Jimmy, when they came in the late quarter, that was a good run. Mm-hmm. I like that lineup. Mm-hmm. I like that way better. And to be honest with you too, Sasky, I know you don't like that the Moody and on shooting guard, mm-hmm. but to be honest with you, I'd rather have Moody – until we get Melton back, then having Pods there. Because like you said, Pods is he's too much of a liability on defense. And like we saw Shaedon Sharpe did yesterday, he blew past a lot of people.
Shaedon Sharpe looks
legit. One thing I know about Moody, if he is there, he will space the floor.
It's true.
He will play defense, and he'll be the connector that Kerr needs on the floor to help the lineup work out so that way we can maximize Steph and everybody on
great
the
call.
Team. Thank you for this morning.
Great call.
That was great stuff,
you know,
Juice.
So many things. I personally believe, and I've only saw a couple minutes of it, Kuminga looks best playing alongside Horford and Jimmy. So, however, if I'm Steve Kerr, whether it's starting, off the bench, whatever, second, third lineups, you know, starting that second quarter, if you're going to have Kuminga, whether it's a month, 3 months, the whole year, I personally believe he has to play alongside two high IQ floor spacers who can pass and move and understand how to get him easy buckets around the rim. Horford and Jimmy really work playing with Kuminga. That being said, everyone views coming off the bench as a concession of Draymond's decline. No, 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 no. I want him on the Iggy on Roy's role. I want him coming off the bench, sparking the second unit, staying out of foul trouble against starters, and being able to close games frenetically with more energy and less fouls and more connectivity and be in that Iggy, that glorified Iguodala role. It's a Draymond role, not an Iggy role, but in the same way Iggy embraced coming off the bench, embraced being able to close games and connect various lineups, whoever's humming, whether it's Livingston or rolling with Bogut at the end of games. I want Draymond on the Iggy on Roids role. That's the role I want him on.
Do you think he'd be willing to embrace such a role?
I hope. I don't think he's ready yet.
And how do you get him? Is that like a Steve Kerr? Is that a Steph? Does someone who does that? Jimmy? Like, who needs to talk to him about that?
If I swapped out, and I'm not like the largest Pods fan. If I swapped out Pods for Dre and had Dre come in with that second unit, and second unit means he's playing alongside Steph.
Yes.
It's Jimmy that would probably come out of the game for a couple of minutes, and that's what I'd put Pods in the starting lineup, and then maybe it's Moody, maybe it's Buddy, maybe it's Quentin Post, maybe it's Kuminga, whoever. Maybe it fluctuates. Maybe it is Melton. I would start Pods. I would. And I'd have him as my ball handler and as my space floor, and I'd have Draymond off the floor. I'm telling you, it would save Draymond's body early in games. It would save his foul trouble late in games so that he doesn't have four or five fouls and it's compromising his aggression on defense.
The key is to have at least one of those guys on the floor at all times. It's either Steph or Jimmy for me.
100,000%.
Yes, that's what is the goal for this
100,000%.
Have one of those guys on the floor at all times, whether it be Steph, whether it be Jimmy, and now.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.